I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6 today, and if you can see there on the back of your bulletin, you can take notes. There's going to be several other scriptures if you're a really good page turner or however you get to these scriptures, maybe with your smartphone. Matthew 6 is where the Lord's Prayer is at, and then in Exodus chapter 16, Matthew 17, and John 6 is where we're going to end up today. And we've been in this series called the Lord's Prayer, or praying with Jesus. Something that the disciples asked Jesus was, they didn't ask him, Lord, how did you do that sign, that wonder, that miracle? How did you heal that person? How did you do this? They didn't ever ask that. What they asked him was, Lord, teach us to pray. So they saw something in Jesus' life, and his life was a life of prayer. It wasn't a life of prayer out in front of everybody like the religious leaders, where they were doing it because they wanted to be heard with their long prayers. Jesus had a private prayer life, and then he had a powerful ministry. And that's where a powerful ministry comes from, is from a private prayer life. And so that's what. And so the disciples saw that, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. So when we read this, the Lord's Prayer, I know that, you know, I had people coming up to me telling me where they learned it from. Somebody said, you know, Janice said first grade. I remember that day I talked about Jennifer Calloway. I had to learn it in the locker room. I learned it in the locker room as well. And you need to be teaching this to your children at home. And yes, they need to know it by heart. But really what they need to understand is not just the religious rote or ritual of it, but they need to understand that what Jesus was teaching his disciples through this was, this is a model. I'm not telling you just to go around repeating this all the time. This is a model of prayer. This is a pattern. This is like the infrastructure to prayer. Everybody got that? And so each part has its meaning. And so we've been going through this line by line. And today we're going to look at this one. Give us this day our daily bread. Everybody say that. Okay, and we say that, and then we wonder, what in the heck did I just say, right? And so that's what we're going to look at today. You're going to understand what you just said. Okay, guys, for some reason it's not turning. It's not flicking. There we go. Okay, Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, it says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread." That's another translation of it, and that's the one I'm using now, the NIV. So everybody say, give us today our daily bread. Okay. All right, good. "Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, Matthew 6:11, give us today our daily bread. And I just want to stop and just say, give us, okay? I'm going to take this line by line so that we can understand what this means. Give us. And whenever I was studying this, give us what it doesn't say give me. Did everybody see that? It doesn't say give me today my daily bread. It says give us today our daily bread. And I'm gonna share something just real simple that's going to revolutionize your prayer life. Quick, when you go to God, this is a part of the prayer, this pattern, this model where Jesus says, I want you to tell me what your needs are. I want you to ask. You have not because you ask not. God, he knows before you even ask what you have need of, but he wants to develop this relationship with you, so he wants you to ask. Everybody got that? All right. So when he says, give us, he's saying, but here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to be focused on me, myself, and I. And a lot of our prayer lives are me, 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 okay? And he said, what I want you to start doing, I already know what you have need of, but I want you to find out what somebody else's need is and start praying for it. And as you do that, I'll meet your need. Amen. So this week, I mean, every week, Jade and I, you know, yes, we're pastors, but you don't have to be a pastor to do this, okay? We know several of you in this congregation really well. Some of we don't know as well as we'd like to, but we pray for everybody in our church family. And during the weeks, every week, there'll be somebody that needs prayer about something. And so Jade and I, instead of us just praying, me, us, her and I is what I'm talking about, we pray for other people. And I encourage you to do that. Pray for other people, you know, friends, family, and just see how it revolutionizes your prayer life. And then see how God begins to answer your prayers. Because you're not just focused on you all the time. You're actually including somebody else. So that's just a little revelation for you to take home today off this "Give us today our daily bread." Jesus didn't say, "Give me today my daily bread." And so Matthew 6:11 says, "Give us today our daily bread." And so when I was studying this, I was like, why not God this? Why not? That sounds redundant to me. Give us today our daily bread, right? I'm like, what? And so I was like, why not just say, give us bread today? Give us bread today. And here's what this means. Give us today our daily bread. Today refers to when, today, and daily refers to an amount. So the Father knows when we need things, and He knows how much we need. And I'm going to say that, you're going to hear me say this one a lot today. That's the sermon in a sentence. The Father knows when we need things, and He knows how much we need. There's another great scripture in the New Testament, Philippians 4:19, that goes with this, that the Apostle Paul said, and he said, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus." Some of you are wearing yourselves out trying to meet your own needs, and God's saying, I want you to come to me with your need and talk to me first about it instead of trying to figure it out on your own. A lot of us run. We live, and I've talked to several people about this, we live in a society, in a culture today, that the last person that we go to is God. We'd rather go to MasterCard, Visa, you know, our local bank, whatever, and I'm talking financial, monetary, material things, understand, you know, to meet a need instead of just saying, you know what, God, I'm going to wait on you. And everybody said, okay. So we're just, that's just the society and culture we live in. So you're going to have to train yourself not to run and try to figure stuff out yourself and trying to meet needs yourself, but go to God with your need. And he might tell you something that's going to, and we're going to look at this here in a little bit. He may tell you something that sounds crazy, you know, but God is God and you're not. And He owns it all. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He knows what He's doing. But if you'll just go to Him, your life would be simpler if we would just go to Him first about every little bitty thing. And I'm talking down to what Jesus said when He's talking about give us today our daily bread. Bread was the basic need of the day. That's what they ate back then. And that was their basic need. And I want to take that scripture out of context and say that give us today our daily bread. God doesn't believe in the keto diet. Amen. Oh, I just want to stand on that scripture. Give us today our daily bread. Keto means pass the bread in Greek. No, it doesn't. I'm just kidding, okay? I worked on that joke all week, and I didn't get much of a response right there. But that's the truth, all right? Give us today our daily bread, all right? All right, this is the word for today for everybody in here today. And I know as I was preparing this, I just know every one of you in here, I know this about us all. We all have needs, okay? I don't know what it is. It could be a financial need, could be a relationship need, could be family, could be job, whatever. But the Father, and I just want you to know, He wants you to talk to Him about it, whatever it is. But I want to tell you this, the Father knows when, and He knows how much. All right, so you need to wait. Some of you are in this season of waiting on His timing. And I want to encourage you, the Father knows when, and He knows how much. Okay? And we're going to go through two passages of Scripture. And if you've been in church any length of time, you've heard these stories. But I just want us to stop and receive the wow factor of these stories, all right? The first one's in Exodus chapter 16. This is verses 16 through 20. This is where the children of Israel, where God, the Father, is feeding them manna from heaven. How many of you heard that story? All right, we're going to look more into it right now. But He fed them manna from heaven. And I want you to realize this. they had been in slavery for 400 years. That's how long that they had been in bondage. And so basically the Egyptians were taking care of the Hebrews. Man, that's where their food came from, all this stuff, you know. They had taskmasters, the Bible says. And so when they get out here in the wilderness, they're trying to relate to God as a father instead of a taskmaster, okay? And so God's trying to create this relationship with them. And then he's starting to tell them, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to meet your daily needs. And this is where this manna from heaven comes from. And so this is Exodus chapter 16, verses 16 through 20. It says, this is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer, which is about 2 quarts, for each person you have in your tent. And the Israelites did as they were told. And I just had to underline that, because nowhere in Scripture do the Israelites do as they're told. But when you put food on the table, they do as they're told. Isn't it amazing what you eat? I found out in church, as long as you serve food, people will do as what they're told. But I just thought that was funny. You know, at home, if you just serve them food, they'll do as they're told. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much and some little. So that means there were some big people. I'd need more than an omer right now. 2 quarts aren't going to get me by during the day. All right, and some little, because there was people that were little and didn't need as much food. So there was big people and little people, and that's okay. God created them all. And everybody said, okay. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. And that's just basically saying God's meeting their daily need. Okay. It says, everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. I underline that too, because nobody pays attention to the pastor. And so they kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with him. I have a lot of compassion for Moses when I study Moses' life, and he's just an angry pastor. I understand. He's an angry pastor. But so that's the story of the manna from heaven. And so, and some of you may not know this story, so I wanted to pull out a couple other scriptures. Exodus 16, verse 14 and verse 31. So did you understand what this was? This was a miracle from God to take care of his children. And I want you to know that God can do miracles to take care of your most basic need of food all the way to whatever else it is, all right? God is a God of miracles, and he wants to take care of his children. He's a good father. But in verse 14, it says, I'm going to just prep this right now so that you'll respond right so we can move along, because you've missed the keto one. I'm coming up on another joke, Leroy. All right, the reason why I do this, guys, is because I have found out humor helps you to understand God's word. God created humor. God wants us to laugh and have fun. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. In verse 14, I pulled this on Jada. I was showing her my PowerPoint slide, and I pulled it on Jada, and Jada's just like, okay, yeah, okay. So don't do that. All right. Throwing her under the bus already. Verse 14 says, when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. All right, some of you already know where I'm going with this. Luke already does. Verse 31 says, the people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. I don't know about you guys, but that's making me hungry right now. I want a bowl of it with some milk. And so here's what I found. I was like, okay, God, what did manna look like? I want to show our church what manna looked like. And so this is what manna looked like. The Father's frosted flakes. Okay, I worked on that all week. I didn't get the response I wanted either. All right, but it's the Father's frosted flakes. That's what was that every day, that was daily. And so here's with this. The Father knows when, and he knows how much. Okay, everybody say that. The Father knows when, and he knows how much. Okay, here's another story, and we're going to go into the New Testament. Now, how many of you have got your taxes done? Okay, a few of you. God bless you. I'm working on mine this week, all right? So this story, this next week, I'm setting aside time to to where I've already called my CPA and made my appointment, so I'll get all my ducks in a row before I have to go. And so it made me think of this story in the Bible, all right? And this is another miraculous story of the Father knows when and he knows how much, and it's in Matthew chapter 17. It says, after Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does, he replied. And when Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. What do you think, Simon? He asked. From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others? Verse 26, from others, Peter answered. And then then Jesus says, then the children are exempt, Jesus said to him. But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. And Peter's reply should have been, say, what? But this is what the 4 drachma coin or the 2 drachma coin looks like. That's what it looks like. And I was sitting here reading this, and I was thinking, okay, God, the translation of this is basically this. Me and God had a little moment with this and had some fun with this when I was like, okay, God, so you created this world. You created everything in it. I'm your son, so I know I live in America, but this planet is yours, this earth is yours, this land is yours, everything is yours. I shouldn't have to pay taxes. Matthew chapter 7, I'm a son, right? And then God said, no, Mark, you forgot to read 27. But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. I was like, God, I live on Foss Lake. Can I go catch a walleye, a sawguy, a hybrid, whatever? And I'm just trying to get you in this story. We all look at that and we start laughing like, oh, God, that's goofy. Well, that's exactly what he told Peter. He said, go down there. You know what you used to do? You used to fish for a living. But I'm going to tell you to go down there and catch this fish, and there's going to be one that the first one you catch is going to have a coin in its mouth, and he's going to take care of us. And Peter was obedient to what Jesus told him to do, because Peter had already been walking with Jesus long enough to know whatever he says do, go do it, because it's going to work. I don't care how crazy it sounds, just do it. And so Jesus' point was that since the temple was his, listen to this, Jesus' point was that since the temple was his Father's house, Jesus was exempt. Why should the Son of God pay a tax to his own Father? But Jesus used the question about the temple tax to teach a lesson. Christians are free, but they must sometimes relinquish their rights in order to uphold their witness and not cause others to stumble. True freedom is not serving ourselves, but others. And everybody said amen. Okay. Out of all the fish, now listen to this, out of all the fish in the Sea of Galilee, only one had a coin in its mouth. And when Peter threw out his hook, the right fish was at the right place at the right time to be the first fish to bite on his hook. And if you'll study the Gospels, Jesus did miracles with dead fish and live fish, with many fish, and he did it with this one fish. He could make a school of fish swim into the net without even speaking a word, and could also make one fish hold a coin in its mouth without swallowing it. But how did that coin get into the fish's mouth? Now, listen to this. I love this. Did God create the money in its mouth? I don't think so. It would have made Jesus a counterfeiter, because it wouldn't be the official currency of the government. No, someone in a boat on the Sea of Galilee either threw a coin in the water or actually dropped a coin overboard, and as it drifted towards the bottom, if you've ever seen that done, they kind of flicker, looks like a little lure, that's when that fish came. The fish caught it in its mouth, but without swallowing it, kept it there until Peter threw in his hook and caught it. And since Jesus did all these miracles by controlling fish, just think what he could do if he controlled you. And if we actually did what he told us to do, no matter how crazy it sounds, okay? With all that, I'm saying this again. The Father knows when, and he knows how much. And I'm going to add something to it. The resources we need, whatever it may be in your life, it could be financial, like in this situation, it could be something totally different in a relationship or in your business or whatever, but the resources we need may be found in unusual places. And so you need to ask him, God, I've tried everything else, Lord, but I'm asking you, where do I need this resource to come from? And everybody said, and he's going to tell you, and it may shock you where he says to go get it. Okay, last scripture of the day, and this is John chapter 6. And how we're going to end today's service is we're going to listen to a song. It's going to be on a video, and it's going to be about, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes long. But I want you guys, during this time, I want you to press in and pray. And I believe that there's going to be a lot of needs met in this house today. Because you're going to just take time and ask the Father. Father knows when, and he knows how much. Some of you have been trying to do something a bunch, and you're going to take this time, and I believe you're going to hear something from heaven today, from God's throne, about what you're supposed to do. And whatever he says to do, do it. If he tells you to go fishing, go fishing. Okay? Whatever he tells you to do. But this is, I want to end with this one in John chapter 6. It says, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And I love what the disciples say right here in verse 34. They said, "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." That bread you just talked about, I want that bread always. Okay, and verse 35 says, "Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me," everybody say that, "whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." I love that. Give us today our daily bread, Matthew 6:11. Today refers to when, and daily refers to an amount. The Father knows when we need things, and he knows how much we need. We always need the bread of life, which is Jesus. Amen. All right. Now, we're going to dim the lights in here just for a little bit, just for an atmosphere of prayer. And we're going to show a video of a song called Million Little Miracles, because I believe you've got to start seeing from your most basic need to whatever. We always think that the big things are the miracles. It's plumbed down to bread. Everything is a miracle. We saw that with the manna. We saw that with the finances to pay the temple tax that day. But what the thing that I want you to grasp here is that the Father knows when, and he knows how much, and the resources that we need may be found in unusual places. And Jesus said, whoever comes to me, and I want you to change your mindset instead of running to this and that and trying to be self-sufficient and do it all yourself and being dependent upon yourself, go to God from the most basic of needs to your most greatest of needs. Go to him first and listen for what his voice tells you to do. And no matter how crazy it is, do it, okay? I was reading a deal the other day where Elijah was depressed. He was suicidal. He was having suicidal thoughts. He finally went to God. You know what God told him? "I'm going to feed you, and then you're going to take a nap. And when you wake up, you're going to be better." And so a nap and a snack, and the man was better. And I say amen to that. Right? And I'm just saying, I'm trying to tell us that sometimes it's not this big, grandiose thing. Something that could just be so simple as that. You need to rest. You need to take some time off. You need to take a nap. You need to eat some Oreos with some milk in Jesus' name, okay? And have a snack. And then when you wake up, you'll feel better. And everybody said, so it can be some very practical. Sometimes we're thinking this is going to be this great revelatory thing, and sometimes it's just a very practical thing that we need to do to have a need met. All right, so I'm going to stop. And I do believe that I have a word. This happened earlier this week. I do have a word for somebody here in the church today. But I'm going to go ahead and get a microphone before we play this. Where did all of our microphones go? They're on what stand? I just need one. I don't even see a microphone up here, Mark.
We don't want this one, I don't think.
Okay. I'm blind.
Pastor, it's a miracle.
It is a miracle.
It's a miracle. Oh, here we go. Sorry. I think it's one.
Now everybody's angry with the pastor. Golly. Tables have turned. All right, this is mic number one. Yeah. And I'll just go ahead. Okay. All right. And I'm going to, here in just a second, because I know that I'm not the only one that can prophesy, okay? And so, but I do have a word for somebody, and if you feel like whenever I start, that you might have a word for them or maybe for somebody else. We're just going to take a time just for a little bit, let the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow and be the body of Christ. Amen. And so go ahead and play this song, guys. And I just want you to just start praying and just press into God and go to Him first for your miracle this morning.
I've been carried by grace. Don't ask me how, 'cause I can't explain. It's nothing short of a miracle I'm here. I've got some blessings that I don't deserve. I've got some scars, but that's how you learn. It's nothing short of a miracle I'm here. I think it over and it doesn't add up. I know it comes from above. I've got miracles on miracles, a million little miracles. Yeah, miracles on miracles. Count your miracles, 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all. You held me steady so I wouldn't give up. You opened doors that nobody could shut. I hope I never get over. I want to live with an open heart. I want to live like I know who you are. I hope I never get over what you've done. It's not coincidence and it's not luck. I know it comes from above. I've got miracles on miracles, a million little miracles. Miracles on miracles, count your miracles, 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all. Miracles on miracles, a million. Your miracles, 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all. 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 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all. I can't even count them all. Like when you heal my mother, I can't even
was on my back.
I can't even
my mother would say, I got food on my table.
I can't even count more.
Lord, I know that you're able.
Miracles on miracles, a million little miracles. Yeah. Miracles on miracles, count your miracles. 1, 2, 3, 4, I can't even count them all.
Miracles on miracles,
a million little miracles.
Thank you, Jesus, for the miracles on miracles.
Count your miracles. 1, 2, 3, 4. I can't even count them all.
Guys, play that on a loop, but real quietly would be great if you can. If you can't, then I'm going to ask Luke to come up here and play something, but I was hoping we could play that on a loop just real quietly in the background. And I want Dusty and Betty, I want you to come up here, guys.
Don't ask me how, because I can't explain. It's nothing short of a miracle I'm here.
I just want you guys to stand right down here.
I've got some blessings.
I'm going to stand above you. There's a reason for this, and I'll tell you in just a second.
But that's how you
face me. Yeah.
It's nothing short of a miracle I'm here.
You guys have been on my heart all week. Ever since you and I talked.
I think it over and it doesn't
add. As your pastor,
I know
when all that came to light this week, I just had this righteous indignation come up within me. And I was like, God, I'm tired of this for them.
Miracles on miracles.
And I felt like as I was praying for you guys, the Lord was showing me you've been in a battle. In a season of battle ever since Rex went home to be with the Lord. And then your mom. Then Dennis. And I said, I was just asking the Lord. I was like, Lord, there has got to be reprieve. There has got to be some stop to this in the name of Jesus. And so the Lord began to show me and told me to do this on Sunday in front of everybody here. Now, we could have done this privately, but I believe in the power of prophetic declaration and the body of Christ joining together with faith. And I'm going to encourage you, if you feel like you have a word for them during this time, I want you to release it to them too, okay? But the scripture that the Lord gave me was this, and he told me to get up here and put you down there because this is what you've been feeling like the enemy has been doing to you, like you're below the enemy's feet. And the Lord's saying, no, it's vice versa, but you got to renew your mind to that. And then you've been in such a battle, both of you, and I know there's other things that's been going on too, but you've been in such a battle that there's been like this vacuum pulling you down into the battle. And God's saying, no, I'm trying to pull them up. And so I want you to get up above them to let me tell them that I'm pulling them up higher. Pulling up higher. It's like what I saw in the Spirit when I was praying this over you guys. There's been this vacuum pulling you down. God's going to pull you up so much higher that that vacuum's never going to be able to reach you. I'm not saying that the storm's going to stop and all the junk. I mean, we live in a fallen world. But you're going to be pulled up so much higher that that vacuum's not going to have a hold on you. And so this is the scripture that God gave me, and I'm going to read it over you. And it's out of Isaiah chapter 40. It says, "Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary, his understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And that's Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. And I want you to stretch forth your hands today, and I want you to believe with me over, and if you have a word too, I want you to release that over Dusty and Betty today, okay? Father, I thank you for Dusty and Betty. I thank you for their friendship. God, I thank you that you brought them to Harvest Fellowship Church many years ago, that they felt called to come to this church to serve, to use their gifts, their talents, and their abilities here for you and for your kingdom. And God, as their pastor, I have seen them weather many a storm, God, and Lord, I declare this word over them, God, that they're rising above the storm and the battle, just like the eagle. They're mounting up with wings like the eagle. They're soaring. They're that storm that's been created. They're using that draft to lift them higher, not to suck them down. And so, Lord, that's what you're doing today. You're giving them strength to rise above the vacuum, God. I see them coming out of that vacuum and going to be able to soar over these problems. They're going to have your perspective. God, it's not to say that those battles aren't going to be there and going on under, but it's not going to affect them. God, they're going to have the right mindset, the right perspective. They're going to be able to speak to these storms, "Peace, be still," in Jesus' name. And so, God, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that in this process, I have watched them walk in this journey, and they have had to make some hard decisions. God, they've leaned on you, but they've also made wise decisions. God, they've even taken the high road where they could have taken the low road and been justified in doing it. But they've taken the high road, God, and you've seen every decision that they've made behind closed doors, God. And they've been decisions that they've always brought before you, God. And so, Lord, because of that, your favor rests upon them today. God, I thank you that you're going to begin to give them the desires of their heart, God. There's desires in their heart that they felt like, no, God, we're too old. It's time's past. And God's saying, no, today is the day. I want to give you the desires of your heart, even in the midst of everything that you're going through. Don't let that stop progress that you both have been making. Don't let the storm stop your progress. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. God, we bless Dusty and Betty today. I thank you so much for, Lord, what they mean to me and Jada, what they mean to this house. God, the service that they have done in this ministry, God, and I release this word over them today, God, that they're going to rise up, God, in Jesus' name. They're going to get up above this storm, and God, you're going to begin to give the desires of their heart to them, God. You're going to release everything that they've been praying and believing for. When they've been coming to you and saying, Lord, give us today our daily bread, you're going to meet every need that they have and then some, God, because you're the God of more than enough. You're El Shaddai. And so, God, we release this word over Dusty and Betty today. And, God, we thank you for them, and we bless them today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Is there anybody else here that has, Jada, that microphone is on right there.
Dusty and Betty, I love you guys so much. And Mark talked about that you're going to be soaring like an eagle. And there's a place that eagles go and rest, and they look around, and they just, you know, they just sit up there so pristine and just calm and peaceful, don't they, if you've ever seen them. And God says there's a place like that for you. There's a place that has been waiting. God's been waiting to meet you there. And for some reason, there's been delays. There's been things that have maybe there's been some doubts or some fears or uncertainties. I'm not sure. But God says it's time to meet me there. This is where I am. I want you to come and meet me here and rest in my arms and let me minister to you all the love and grace and peace. God says it's a place of peace for you. And it's a desire that you've had, and you've begun little steps towards it. But God said he wants to complete it for both of you. And he loves you, and he's a good father. And he has good gifts for you both. So just receive this gift. He's going to take care of all the things that you question about it. He's going to take care of and meet every need in abundance because of his great love for both of you. He's seen your hearts for those that you have given to and poured into, never asking for anything in return for yourselves. You always give. Remember when I told you that y'all were that big tall oak tree? That's still the same. You're that big tall oak tree, and many have come and sit under the shade, the beautiful shade that you have provided. Some have moved on better, having been sat underneath your shade. And still some come, new ones come.
Amen. Is there anybody else? Amen. Mark, I want you to share too what you told me earlier. Yeah, if you need to.
Okay, as Dusty came up here, this is the word I felt from the Lord. Steadiness. Brother, I mean that. The steadiness of what who you and Betty are. Because the times that you and I meet, it's like I dump all my junk on you, and you're steady. And I do that when I meet with Dusty. So God just said that God shows me every time that I see you, you're a steady man of God. And you stay the course. And that encourages me, someone that likes to gripe, because I feel like I'm that person. And I was looking in Proverbs just now, Pastor. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. You do that, brother. And you guys have been establishing a path for a long time. God would also say, I have been performing all of these miracles. You just haven't seen them all.
Yeah.
And you haven't seen them all yet to come.
Yeah.
But there's many miracles, and I believe that's a word for us, as we don't always see all the miracles that God's already done.
Yeah.
So what I would tell you, that there's been many, many in the wake of you're going, I've been being steady, God, but he's been performing miracles all around you through this time, through the time that you've been going through already. And there's more to come. He's gonna, and I'm believing that God's going to even reveal those things to you more and more as the days go on. I had this word where I told Pastor before he even had you guys come up. There's a quick word that will encourage us, I think, on this same point of sometimes we don't see the miracles. About 3 years ago, I had the only wreck I've ever had in my life in a car on a highway, and I ran into a lady. I just looked away for a second, and I hit the back of this car. And this was the word I had that goes with what I think for all of us to think about the miracles. And I looked up just for a second. I'm like, there's no way that car's there. And I, the back end there, dead stop. I'm 70, and I can't stop fast enough. I don't know. I'm speeding, Pastor. and I hit this. So I just confessed my speeding, and I hit this car, and I rolled, and I don't know how. There was two semis in the other lane right across, and didn't hit either one of them. Airbags come out. I'm over there. I'm like, what just happened? And so a year passed. There was a lady in this car trying to turn into her own home. And a year passed. I'm at Sharon Mutual. It's up there by Woodward. And a guy comes to me, and I said, do you know the people that live in that house? It's the principal there. And he said, yeah. I said, you know, I wondered what happened after that day because I couldn't remember their name and so forth. He goes, you know, Mark, I got to tell you a story. He came to me, and he told me that he knew you, the man of the wife. And he said that the lady was taken, they went ahead and took her to the hospital, mm-hmm. and they felt like they needed to do a CAT scan because of whiplash. And it's a year later that I didn't know that they discovered that this lady had a brain tumor. And if she hadn't have gone to the hospital that day, they'd intercede, that God interceded.
Amen.
In that, in the doctors, and they were able. And he said that the accident that for a year I'm going, what happened there, God? A miracle had happened that I didn't even know.
Right.
And so what God would tell you, that your miracle's already been happening. And I believe that's a word for all of us today. And it's more to come. I'm thankful for the revelation that I gained to know that God's working in all things, even when we don't understand.
Exactly right.
And just keep being steady, brother, because that's what I see as your brother. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that's all I got.
Good stuff, Mark. Thank you. Anybody else? Janice?
God said you matter.
Yes.
You're quiet. You're meek. And you're gentle. And a lot of people mistake that for weakness. But you're like an architecture. Nobody sees what the architect does. But without him, without the knowledge and the fortitude, buildings would never get built. And God said, you matter. He sees everything you do in the background. You're quiet. And you don't want to be noticed. You just do your thing for him. Because that's how he made you. He made you humble. And he made you quiet and meek. And you don't have to have accolades. Because you know who you are in him. And he said, because everything he said is going to come forth because you matter to him.
That's good.
You matter to him, and don't ever think you don't, because you do, more than you know. And he's about to show himself to you because of his word and his promises, because we all know, because of his word, they are yes and amen.
Yes.
So you guys get ready. Because it's coming, and it's coming soon. Everything that he said is coming and coming soon. Because you guys have been faithful. You've been faithful. And he sees that.
Yes.
And he records that. And he has to perform his word. Because he cannot lie. And his word is so strong. So rock solid. That he himself cannot break it.
Amen. Love it. God is good. And all the time, amen. Aren't you glad you came to church today? I know Dusty and Betty are. Amen. Give them a big hand clap, guys. I'm telling you. I say that to say this because somebody probably said, well, it's good that Dusty and Betty came to church today. Where's my word at? You know, here's the deal. That word is for all of us. Yes, God did single them out today because of something that they're going through. But, guys, if you'll just receive that word is for you as well to grab a hold of, because every one of you in here matter. Amen? We're all children of the Most High God. All right, I want everybody to stand up. Jada, will you join me up here, babe? I'm going to speak a blessing over you today. Remember, the Father knows when, and He knows how much. Amen? All right. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you His peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God Himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, I'm going to go eat some bread. Amen. Y'all have a blessed Sunday.
Jesus, for the miracles on miracles, count your miracles, one, two.